I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
All right, let's get to it. The award-winning Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer, joins us now from down in steamy Arizona here on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Mr. Ryan Wood, how are we this afternoon?
You know, Pat Murphy's right. Arizona is a good place to rest. Not that there's been any of that going on down here at the owner's meeting.
Man, you need to stop.
Opposite of rest here.
You need to stop. I saw Jay Glazer's video earlier today talking about day drinking with NFL coaches. He pans his phone or camera, and there's all these NFL coaches sitting by the pool having beverages. They look like they're relaxing.
I'm not living my best life right now, Sparky. Yeah, Jay Glazer rubbing that in. I could go for a beer.
Yeah.
I got to get away from my computer to make that happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yes, I totally understand. So you got to talk to everybody. I mean, this sounds like the place to be. I think I want to do one. I want to go to one of these years. This sounds awesome. So you've got the owner, well, not the owner, but the president, Ed Policy. You've got LaFleur you talk to. You got Goody you talk to. Big Mike. Mike McCarthy is there. You talk to him. Mike LaFleur was there with the Cardinals. I mean, there is so much going on. You probably got stories for the next 2 weeks to write after all the material you got.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. And in some respects, I feel like it's still somewhat of a kept secret. When I broke into covering the Packers on the Packers beat in 2014, the scouting combine was the tentpole event of the offseason. It is no longer the case. A few years ago, the owners' meeting has replaced the combine as the number one content-generating event of the NFL offseason. Matt LaFleur doesn't even go to the combine anymore.
Yep.
Yesterday, I spoke with Matt LaFleur at 7:45 Pacific time, which was thankful. So every other year is in Florida. Let me tell you, 7:45 in Florida is not the same as 7:45 in Phoenix.
Right.
Very, very different.
Yes.
Matt LaFleur, 7:45. Around lunchtime, we had Brian Gutekunst. Around dinner time, we had Ed Policy. It was a very extensive car wash.
It was a car wash. Let's start with Matt LaFleur. And him pretty much talking about the idea of kind of knowing that he was going to get that extension and feeling pretty confident that that deal was going to get done even after the Bears game as we got into the offseason while Packer fans were losing their minds.
There's a reason for that, because I asked Ed Policy, when did you know?
Yep.
And he didn't know the exact moment to the second, but he made it very clear it was before Chicago. It was before the playoff game that Ed Policy decided that he was going to work to extend Matt LaFleur. And obviously, within a week of that playoff meltdown, that's exactly what happened. So, in Ed Policy's words, Matt LaFleur was never coaching for his job last season. Ed Policy gave his first lengthy, detailed explanation of why he wanted to extend Matt LaFleur at this owner's meeting. And he pointed to everything from calling Matt LaFleur a natural teacher. He believes it's very important to be a teacher, to the quarterback track record, bringing out, in Ed Policy's words, the very best of Aaron Rodgers.
Brian, did Malik Willis get him this extension?
The quarterback certainly did. From Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, to Malik Willis, and I've written about this. I wrote about this right after the season. Malik Willis might have Matt LaFleur to thank for his now career as the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
Matt LaFleur has Malik Willis and Jordan Love and even Aaron Rodgers, but certainly Malik Willis, Jordan Love to thank for this extension.
Yep.
Because Matt LaFleur is a quarterback whisperer. You cannot take that away from him. He is a quarterback whisperer. And in this league, quarterback whisperers are head coaches. That's the reality. If they had fired Matt LaFleur, Matt LaFleur would have had a job, his next job, as soon as he wanted one because of his track record with quarterbacks. So Ed Pauly's point of that. I didn't realize, I don't know if you realize, the Packers are the third winningest team in the NFL since 2019, only behind Kansas City and Buffalo, which makes them the winningest team in the NFC under Matt LaFleur's watch.
And like Buffalo, now, they can't finish.
Exactly. There's a flip side to that coin. And it's so interesting. Did you watch Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan's introductory press conferences in Miami?
I probably watched a little bit of it. I don't think I sat there and watched all of it, no.
The thing that stands out is how envious the rest of the league, much of this league, is of the what they call the Green Bay culture. Because down in Miami, the idea of making three straight playoffs in any 3 years is that you might as well land on Neptune. Like, that doesn't happen there. That's an impossibility. That is, let's build a spaceship and go to Mars sometime. That's what that is. Here it happens. But the flip side of that coin is three straight years as a seventh seed is not exactly the consistency that you want to see. And so there's a flip side to everything, right? That's where this team is. How do you push them forward? But Ed Policy made it very clear in his mind, the track record with quarterbacks, the winning. He said that the idea of firing Matt LaFleur to him was shocking. Like, that was just never going to happen.
Yeah, and I understand that, too. Ryan Wood, the beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on X at By Ryan Wood. He's down in Arizona at the owners' meetings where he's had the pleasure of talking to a bunch of different people. One of the things that came out of this conversation with you and Matt LaFleur and others was the idea of finishing football games and closing games out, something that they struggled with last year. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how you fix that necessarily, but I feel like it's more of a coaching thing than anything.
It's a blessing and it's a curse at the same time. The blessing is this roster, look, they're going to draft corners in the draft. They're not done. But there's no such thing in this league as a perfect roster. It doesn't exist with the salary cap. Every roster is going to have an area you wish was a little bit better. The Packers are no different. But this Packers roster has everything you need to win a Super Bowl right now. They have the quarterback. They have Micah Parsons coming back. They have plenty of talent surrounding both of those superstars. This is not a glaring, like, they got to do this with this roster to get there. They're there. But there's a difference between being a Super Bowl caliber roster and a Super Bowl caliber team. Those are not the same thing. And they are a Super Bowl caliber roster. They are not a Super Bowl caliber team. At least they have not been. And it's the intangible. If you listen to the Packers, if you listen to Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, what's missing, they're telling you it's the ability to finish games. And it's no coincidence that the team that could not win games that it should have last season ultimately lost its season. They collapsed in Cleveland. They collapsed down the stretch with five straight losses. That's tied to each other. That has to get fixed, because if you're making any type of playoff run, everyone in the playoffs is good. This is already a league based on parity. You get to January, they're all good. You have to win close games. You have to be that team, not just that roster. That's where they're at.
We talked about this earlier, reading a quote from you, from Matt LaFleur, when you asked him about Jordan Love potentially needing to use his legs a little bit more like Malik Willis did. And Matt LaFleur went in this whole piece about talking about off-schedule plays, and running when it's necessary to run, and then talking about, well, it's also on the running backs and the wide receivers and the tight ends to do what they're supposed to do when it's off schedule and so forth. But those are two different things of how you handle those, right? Those aren't the same thing. Finishing a game and finishing a play, two separate issues that have to be dealt with in different ways.
I'm not sure one doesn't kind of bleed into the other a little bit. What Matt LaFleur is talking about there is being a team that sustains and strains to the whistle. Yeah. Really, right up to the whistle, you fight and you finish every play. That's what you got to do in games, too. You get to the fourth quarter, you're tired.
Sure.
You've had things not go right. You've got to sustain and strain all the way through, which they did not do, whether it was the play, the game, or the season last year. I think that all kind of works hand in hand. I mean, that's where Matt LaFleur said it's been on the forefront of his mind, the need to finish.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And there's no coincidence why. That's what this team could not do.
So how do they fix it?
That's the million-dollar question, or maybe however many millions Matt LaFleur got in his extension.
Yeah.
Because it starts there, and that's the curse part. The curse part is that it's not easy to fix. If this was a roster glaring need, you go out and get a right tackle. You go out and get more corners, or you go hey, a year ago at the NFL owners meeting, I still remember asking Brian Gutekunst, what are you going to do with pass rush? Because this ain't it. You know what they did? They traded 2 first-round picks and got Micah Parsons.
They did something. Yeah.
If it's tangible, you can go get that. If it's intangible, that's a lot harder. That's a lot harder to go get the intangible, and that's where they're at. So I don't know, man. That's above my pay grade. I don't know how you fix that. I'm not a football coach. I just know that that's the issue, and they better fix it, because if they don't, they're not getting to the Super Bowl.
You got a bunch of coaches drinking alcohol. Go find somebody to give you the answer to that question and then write a whole column on how, you know, Shanahan was drunk and told you how to fix the whole thing. I think that would be a fun column to write. You may not like it, but I think it'd be fun. Ryan, I want to get your take on the other deal. Well, the NFLPA report cards and LaFleur not grading out the best in the whole wide world. I brought up to Charlie, like, I think my question and policy would have been, hey, man, did you see this report card prior to give him the extension, or did you get it after? Because policy went on and on talking about how much everybody loves him, but clearly everybody didn't love him based on that report card.
Well, we talked at policy a lot about that. I asked specifically if he observed any issues there. And he said that, I also asked him, did you consult any players before offering the extension? And he said, yes, but only because they came to him.
Wow.
He didn't go to any players, but he said that players came to him, and he wouldn't name names, but he said every single player that came to him came to give their full-throated support for keeping Matt LaFleur. So that was part of this process. He said that they have heard the distinct opposite of what's in that NFLPA report card, which is anonymous. We don't know who that was coming from, but he's heard the distinct opposite from players that he has spoken to. And that's where I'm not going to say there's not issue. Look, you want to talk about players playing out of their roles. You don't have to guess who that might be. I still remember being in the Soldier Field locker room after that Week 16 loss to the Bears, talking with Jordan Morgan. And he made it very clear, yeah, I mean, I'm playing right tackle. That's what this team needs me to do. But I'm a left tackle. The coaches know I'm a left tackle. That's where I'm comfortable at. I'm a left tackle. You go look at what Colby Wooden said. As soon as he got traded, introduced to Indianapolis Colts media, they asked him, what did you think of the trade? His first response was he was shocked because he felt like he played pretty well last year. The second response to the trade was excitement because he was playing nose tackle last year, and he's not a nose tackle. And he was asked to play. He played it well. But they asked him, where do you think you're going to play with the Colts? So I'm sure it's not going to be nose tackle. So that's what Colby Wooden felt about that. 2024, Romeo Doubs decides Week 5 not to show up to a practice.
Yep.
Because he's not happy with his involvement in the offense, gets suspended a game. There's a long paper trail here of guys that have been playing out of position. Now, here's the reality. Every single team in the league has players playing out of position. That is what happens when injuries hit. You have to move guys around. You have to compensate for who's not there. You're going to be asked to do things that's not natural to you. That's the Jordan Morgan situation. They didn't have Zach Tom at right tackle. He had to play there. But also, the buy-in comes from, does it upset you? Does it take a toll on your season? Or do you fully accept that and charge ahead? We don't know who did and who didn't, but clearly not everyone did.
Do you feel like, Ryan Wood, that Brian Gutekunst finally is all in on special teams? I mean, I saw his answer on Sky Moore and wanting him to return punts and kicks, and they think now maybe they have figured out that it takes more than just a field goal or a punter to fix special teams. Does it feel like now he's finally buying into making sure there are roster spots dedicated to that unit?
Part of me wants to say that I'll reserve opinion until and if and only when I see one of those 53 roster spots go to Sky Moore, even if in training camp he proves to be nothing more than a return specialist. I get that those roster spots are precious. There's only 53, but that is also a position on your roster. And if a guy can only do that but does it at a high level, that's a position on your roster. You've got to have that element to your game because they did it last year and it was bad. I mean, we all saw it. It was as dormant can be. I do think that Brian Gutekunst took a big step here in bringing in one of fewer than 10 guys in the league last year with at least 25 punt and kickoff returns, one of 3 guys in the league last year with a 60-yard punt and kickoff return, one of the better dual return specialists that this league had last year, and putting him in the biggest area of need on the roster. I mean, that sounds crazy because it's return specialist. They had nothing there, and he's something much more than something. So I think that that's a step. Let's just see that one of those 53 spots definitely goes to him.
What about that running back room? I mean, right now you have obviously Josh Jacobs, Chris Brooks, who's your third string running back, a guy that we don't talk about because he can't stay healthy for two games in a row. And then Pierre Strong, which, I mean, again, I don't know if I'm all in on Pierre Strong. I mean, Goody brought up the idea of he wants to add to the competition in that room. They've got plenty of money to work with at this point. Do you think that competition comes through the draft, or do you think they eventually go out and get another veteran running back?
I'll be honest, I don't know the running back market well enough to know who's even out there. I would think it has to come through the draft. They have to draft somebody. It doesn't have to be early. But if they could just turn off the injury mode and make this Madden and have Marshawn Lloyd just stay on the field, there's your answer. But if you believe in that, then I've got some great Oceanside property in Phoenix to sell you, because that's just not going to happen. So they're going to have to draft somebody.
Time with Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on X at By Ryan Wood. Last one on Mike McCarthy. What did you learn from hearing McCarthy? I know he's been talking to Rodgers. What's your feel on McCarthy?
I didn't talk to Mike McCarthy today. I sent all my 30 minutes saddled up next to Jeff Hafley.
Oh, that's good
sure
too.
He sure looks like he's enjoying life in Miami there. I asked Jeff Hafley what he thought of the uncertainty with Matt LaFleur after the season. He said, look, you look at what he's done since coming in 2019, the games he's won, he's had one of the better careers in this league. In Jeff Hafley's mind, and of course he's biased, he credited Matt LaFleur for changing his life, welcoming him back to the NFL, and then Jeff Hafley did the rest in 2 years and banked that into a head coaching gig. But Matt LaFleur opened that door. He's biased, but he said he's one of the best coaches in the league. Like, you're not going to hear an ill word about Matt LaFleur from Jeff Hafley, nor should you. But he has the utmost respect, not just for him as a person, but for his track record and what he's done in this league as a head coach. Here's something interesting. We learned a little something. Jeff Hafley was asked what he learned from Matt LaFleur. And one of the things was how to handle the offseason as a play caller who is also the head coach. He said that Matt LaFleur lets Adam Sinovich really handle the offense during the offseason so that he can be in that head coach role. And then once the season begins, he really buries into the offense. He's got to have trust in that defensive coordinator, which is how Jeff Hafley's going to set it up. He wants to be more of a head coach in the offense, let his coordinators handle that, and then be that defensive, bury your head in the defense, be the play caller when the season begins in Miami and really focus on that side of the ball. I thought that was interesting. And then the Micah Parsons thing, Jeff Hafley's very aware that the Packers are playing the Dolphins this season. He's very strongly hoping it's week one to avoid Micah Parsons, but we'll see how the schedule plays out.
Yeah, that made me laugh. I mean, there's a part of me, they got into debating that on 9 to noon with John Kuhn earlier today as far as you want to play the Dolphins early or later. And when you have a mobile running quarterback that can get hurt at any moment, I tend to like the later date more than I like the earlier date when I know Malik Willis is going to be fresh and ready to go.
And the Dolphins are going to at least enter this season internally, despite all logic to the contrary, with something resembling belief. They have a quarterback. They have 11 picks in this draft. They're going to, inside those walls, they're going to believe they can do something. And then, you know, November and December comes, and you're 4-10, and it's like, okay, this is where that season's heading. You'd rather face the 4-10 Dolphins than the 0-0 Dolphins.
Yep, no, I understand that. He is Ryan Wood. Thank you for coming on, man. Enjoy your rest of your time in Arizona. I know you will. When do you come back?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh,
and
all right.
Yeah, we'll enjoy the warmth while it starts. I guess Green Bay got hammered with a storm today, and I'm just, you know, out here looking at the palm trees, and I miss that.
Yeah, there's going to be precipitation for the next several days. So hopefully you're able to fly in okay, and everything's all right. Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Be sure to build an ark, and yeah, we'll make it through.
Exactly right. Build an ark. Take care.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, The Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.